السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. إن شاء الله continuation on our story of Badr al-Kubra, إن شاء الله غزوة البدر الكبرى, and إن شاء الله we're on the 64th part of this series, إن شاء الله تعالى. So just a quick review and then we'll continue, إن شاء الله. So we had we talked about the sharing and conveniences. So the Sahaba, first of all, the Prophet ﷺ told them that whoever is ready at this moment, we can depart. And some of the Ansar, for example, some of the Sahaba who had houses away from the Masjid Nabawi, they weren't even allowed to go and grab their camels. They said, if you're ready to go now, if fine. If not, then you know you can you don't have to go. And this
was,
actually,
that was in the Salat of Fajr or Dhuhr?
I don't know what Salah, I'm not sure. It was as soon as the spy came back, and the spy told the Prophet ﷺ that the caravan is on the way back. So he told the Sahu, whoever was present, that let's depart right away. So that's why we have the small number of Sahaba. What was the number of Sahaba in Badr?
313,
yeah. So some say it's 313 to 319, bid'ah. Ashar. So it's basically the 13 to 19, the odd numbers, one of those numbers in between. Most of the ulama say, I mean, the majority opinion is 313 most likely. Allahu alam. But we know that that number was really small because, again, it was not far, that was not called out. The Prophet ﷺ did not make an announcement that we're going to fight or going to attack the caravan. It was basically like a secret mission, you could say. And that's why the numbers were so small. And one of the Sahaba from Tabuk, who stayed back from Tabuk, Ka'b ibn Malik, he actually mentions that in the Sahih Hadith, it comes that he says that لَمْ أَتَخَلَّفْ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي غَزْوَةٍ غَزَاهَا قَطْ إِلَّا فِي غَزْوَةِ تَبُوكِ, that I did not stay back from any ghazwa except for the ghazwa of Tabuk. And then he goes to clarify, غَيْرَ أَنِّي قَدْ تَخَلَّفْتْ فِي غَزْوَةِ بَدْرٍ. He said, except that I did not go in Ghazwa Badr. But the thing is, he says that وَلَمْ يُعَاتَبْ أَحَدٌ تَخَلَّفْ عَنْ, that anybody who stayed back who did not go for Badr was not shunned or reprimanded or anything, because was, the Prophet ﷺ had it, it was a secret mission basically. The Sahaba were not informed and there was no announcement made. So he explains that the people who did not go to Badr were not, it was not an aib or anything that was bad. For someone to not go. So we talked about the number of the total number of messengers being that same number, around 313 Rusul.
So Ka'b bin Malik was not a Badri.
He's not Badri.
The other two were, is that right?
Hilal bin Umayyah, I believe he was, and
bin Rabi also.
I'm not sure.
Murara bin Rabi also.
I'm not sure if he was or not. But we said that the total number of Rusul were 313 out of 124,000 prophets. Okay, and also the in the Sahih Hadith, that the same number of people who were King Talut, that is mentioned in Surah Baqarah, 313, one of them being Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay, those, that number was the same, the ones who had passed the test after drinking from, or abstaining from drinking from the Nahr, and they passed, that was the same number of the people in Badr. We talked about how there was only 70 camels and two horsemen. Some riwayat say one horseman, some say two. The two horsemen were Zubair ibn Awam radhiyallahu anhu and Miqdad ibn Amr radhiyallahu, Miqdad ibn Aswad radhiyallahu anhu. And 70 camels shared between the 313 plus Sahaba, 300 plus Sahaba. Two of the Sahaba that were sharing with the Prophet ﷺ were Abu Lubaba al-Ansari radhiyallahu anhu and Ali ibn Abi Talib radhiyallahu anhu, the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ. He was not the son-in-law yet. We'll talk about the marriage of Fatima radhiyallahu anha to Ali radhiyallahu anhu. We'll talk about that inshallah in the future. So they were going together, and we talked about how they were shying away from having the Prophet ﷺ walk while they are on the camel. And the Prophet ﷺ responded to them by saying, "Ma antuma bi aqwa minni ala al-mashi," that you guys are not stronger than me, that I can't walk, or you, and you know, you guys are stronger that you can walk. "Wala ana bi aghna an al-ajr minkuma," and I am not in any less of a need of reward than you, meaning I let me attain the same reward, let me walk. And this shows the humbleness of the Prophet ﷺ, the leadership capabilities and attributes of the Prophet ﷺ, that he was walking while he could have easily told them, you know, give me all your food, give me all your luxuries, and even have someone walk beside him, fanning him. He could have done all that, but he didn't do that. He did what the army was doing. He walked as they walked. I think I mentioned this, or I don't know if I mentioned, but there was three battle flags that were held by the Sahaba. The Prophet ﷺ appointed three Sahaba to hold the flags, Ali radiallahu anhu being one of them, Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu being the other, and the third was Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. They were carrying the banners. And this is like a banner, like if, when you go for Umrah, for example, or Hajj, you've seen people carrying banners, and then this person and then the people are following that person. It's easy to, you know, stay as a group and stay together, especially when you have like a large group. So these three Sahabi were carrying those banners. Now, one of the things, I think I missed this, I didn't mention this last week, but there was a place called Bi'r Abi Aynaba, where the Prophet ﷺ and Sahaba stopped while they were traveling towards Badr. And when they stopped at this place, the Prophet ﷺ was inspecting the army, was looking over the army, making sure, you know, who's there, who's not, you know, how many people we have and whatnot, if they need anything. And the kids, the young kids who had joined the army, who had joined the Prophet ﷺ, they were actually sent back. So these Sahaba were sent back. Some of them, for example, Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu, I believe Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. These young Sahaba were sent back by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We also talked about the Sunnah of Mashwara, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was going on, and when the spies came back and told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Abu Sufyan and the caravan have escaped, and basically now there's an army coming, 1,000 plus 1,300 actually, 1,300 men from Mecca. They're coming. They didn't know the number, but they said there's a large army coming from Mecca, and they're coming to fight. So the Prophet ﷺ at this point sat and did mashra with the Sahaba. We talked about how Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu and Miqdad ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, they stood up and they said that we are ready to go wherever you go. Miqdad radiallahu anhu went a step further and he said how if you tell us to go to the depths of the world, meaning Yemen, the Barukh al-Ghimad, we're ready to go there. And the Prophet ﷺ was pleased, and he made du'a for Miqdad ibn Amr radiallahu anhu. And there's a interesting story about Miqdad radiallahu anhu. I'll try to shorten it, inshallah. But there was him and the Prophet ﷺ and another Sahabi would share milk from a certain from a goat, and they would share this. And one night, the Prophet ﷺ had stayed behind. He went to one of the houses of the Ansar. And Miqdad radiallahu anhu, he said that Shaitan, he's giving the hadith, he's telling the narration, he says that Shaitan came and whispered to me that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is out, maybe he went to a da'wah, maybe he's getting food, he's eating, so you know there's no problem because you're hungry, why don't you drink your share and drink the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's share also. So they had milked the goat and they would put it into three pots or whatever. And he says, why don't you drink yours and drink the Prophet has some share also. He's going to probably come back having eaten. So don't worry about it. So he said, I went ahead and I drank it. And he said that after I drank it, then the shaitan said, what are you doing? You know, he comes again and he says to him that you drank the Prophet has some milk. Now he's going to do badua against you. Now he's going to come back. He's going to be hungry. And what are you going to do then? So Baghdad radhiallahu anhu, he says that I stood by when the Prophet ﷺ came back to see what's going to happen. And the Prophet ﷺ looked and there was no milk. So the Prophet ﷺ raises his hands and then he says, okay, now I'm finished. Now he's going to make dua against me and against whoever drank the milk, and now I'm going to be destroyed. So he says that the Prophet ﷺ made dua actually for barakah. Excuse me. And Miqdad radhiallahu anhu, at that point, the Prophet ﷺ says, make dua for barakah and for food. So Miqdad radhiallahu anhu goes and he actually decides, I'm going to go and sacrifice that goat and I'm going to cook it and bring it back to the Prophet ﷺ. But when he goes to sacrifice the goat, he finds that the udders are full of milk again. This is a miracle of the Prophet ﷺ's dua, that Allah ﷻ answered the dua and the milk came again, even though it was just milked you know, an hour ago, just say for example, and it was full of milk again. So Miqdad radiallahu anhu goes, he milks the goat, takes it, and he takes that to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he tells him the whole story. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, smiles and he says, okay, this is the dua. And then he makes dua, Allahumma at'im man at'amani wasqi man saqani, that give the one who gives me to eat and drink, feed and give him to drink. So that was an interesting story of Miqdad ibn Amr radiallahu anhu. So going on, we talked about, oh yeah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after Miqdad radiallahu anhu had said his word, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept on saying, Ashiru alayya, give me your mashwara. And he kept on looking around, giving, asking. And then Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu from the Ansar, he realized that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about the Ansar. He's asking the Ansar for their opinion. And he says that, are you referring to us? And he says, yes. Because the Ansar, remember I talked about this, that the agreement they had with the bay'ah, the pledge they made with the Prophet ﷺ, was to protect him inside of Medina. Defensive war, basically, not offensive war. So they were going out for the caravan. That wasn't really a war, that was just attacking the caravan. But now it has become two armies are going to meet. So now they're not obliged to be in this battle. So the Prophet ﷺ wanted their opinion. What's your opinion? And Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, speaking on behalf of the Ansar, he says that we are ready to go. If you want to tell us to jump into the ocean, we're ready to jump into the ocean after you. And the Prophet ﷺ made dua for him and was pleased with this. Okay, there was two people who were caught by the Meccans. They were traveling back from Mecca to Medina. And they were caught, and then they made a promise. They were only released after making a promise that they will not fight alongside the Prophet ﷺ. Anybody remember who that was? He's called the secretary of the Prophet ﷺ. Hudhayfa ibn Yaman radiallahu anhu, him and his father. He and his father were caught by the Meccans, and they made a promise, an oath to the Meccans that they will not fight alongside the Prophet ﷺ in this battle. So that's why then they were released. And they went straight to the Prophet ﷺ. They caught up with the Prophet ﷺ and they told him what happened. The Prophet ﷺ told him that you cannot stay with me. You made a promise, so go back. And this shows, remember we talked about the amana, that even though it's times of war, but they made a promise, they made an oath, the Prophet ﷺ did not allow them to fight alongside with him. There's another dream. So we talked about the dream of Atika radiallahu anha, the aunt of the Prophet ﷺ. There was another dream, and this is actually, I believe he was another relative, a distant relative of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is during the march. So when the Meccans are marching from Mecca and they're going towards, they're going north towards Badr, there was a place called Juhfa where they were encamped, and a person by the name of Juhaym ibn Salat. Juhaym ibn Salat, he saw a dream. And in this dream, he saw a person riding a horse and taking along with him a camel. And he says that he calls out, this person on the horse calls out, Utbah is dead, Utbah is slain. And Shayba has been slain. Abu al-Hakam, meaning Abu Jahl, is slain. Umayyah ibn Khalaf is slain. So he calls names out the leaders of the Meccan army and said they are dead. And then he takes a spear and he stabs the camel with that spear. This is in the dream. Okay, he hits the camel with the spear and the blood starts squirting out and the camel starts running. And as it's running, it runs around the camp and every single tent in that camp gets blood stains on it. This is the dream that he saw. And then again, it spread like wildfire. Everyone knew about the dream the next morning. And Abu Jahl got very upset at hearing this, because remember, they're out to war, they're about to go and fight the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba, so he doesn't want anybody to, you know, any kind of negative thinking or anything like that, and he got very upset, and he said, what is this, we have so many prophets now, and different prophetesses, you know, seeing dreams, and then he said, no, onward to war, we're going to keep on going. Now, before they even got to Badr, when the two armies met, Abu Sufyan had sent, because he was safe now, he had escaped on the shore of Arabia, down from like Yambo and gone down. And when he was close enough to Mecca, where he knew he was safe from the Prophet ﷺ, he sent a message to the army, to Abu Jahl in the army, saying that we are safe, basically, and there's no need for you to continue. You can come back now. So he sends us a message. Abu Jahl, again, ignoring that, he says, no, we're here to fight. Remember, he even brought the women, he brought dancers, he brought extra camels and stuff. They brought these so they can have a feast and they can have a party after they killed the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba. So he was adamant. He says, no, I want to go and destroy the Muslims. I don't care if they're safe or not, we're going to continue on. One of the tribes, excuse me, by the name of Banu Zuhra, this is Akhnas ibn Shariq. He was the leader of that tribe. He actually advised his people, saying that we left to fight Muslims because they were going to attack our caravan. We're going to defend our caravan. Now that the caravan is safe, there's no need. So he and 300 of his tribesmen went back. So they were 1,300 in number, and then minus 300, it was 1,000 remaining. That was the remaining army of the Meccan army. Akhnas, I believe he did. I have to look it up. He sounds familiar, yes. I think he did become Muslim. But at that point, Bani Zuhra, he did not participate in the Battle of Badr. One, in a hadith of Sahih Bukhari, there's two people, the Muslims, in Musnad Ahmad, I think. There was two disbelievers that were at the well of Badr, and the Muslims went, and they actually, one of them ran away, and one of them was caught. And one of them, there was a slave of Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt. So he was caught, and they brought him back, and they kept on asking him that, you know, kam adaduhum, how many do you have? How large is your army? And they kept on asking him, and he did not answer. He would keep on saying, hum wallahi kathir, adaduhum shadidun ba'suhum. He just kept on trying to instill fear in them. He said that their number is large and their strength is enormous, or their strength is very severe. So he keeps on saying this, that's the response. So the Muslims, al-Muslimun idha thalika darabu. They were interrogating him, they started beating him, trying to get the information out of him. And they were not successful in that. So then they took him to the Prophet ﷺ, and Rasulullah ﷺ asked him again, how many people are in this army? And he responded by again saying, "Hum wallahi kathir, adum shadid ba'suhum," that their strength is strong and their number is large. So the Prophet ﷺ used another technique, another tactic, a very intelligent tactic. He says to him that, "How many camels do you slaughter every day?" So he said, "Okay, don't." He told him, "Stop beating him. Don't hit him." And he asked him a different question. He said, how many animals are slaughtered every day? And he told him that, I think it was 10 camels. It's 10 camels that were slaughtered. And Rasulullah ﷺ turns to Sahaba and said that they are 1,000 in number. Because one camel is enough for 100 people. So he says that basically they're 1,000 in number. So he was able to extract that information from that. Also, the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent rain. So that night, we know the Prophet and Sahaba, when they got to their position, the Meccans were in an area, a little bit higher ground, and the Muslims were in a little bit lower ground. And basically, the sand, it was not, they didn't really have a good area or good placement where they were standing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends rain. And the Sahaba, they say, ثُمَّ إِنَّهُ صَابَنَا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ طَشْ. So rain came, مِنْ مَطَرْ, this rain came, فَانْتَلَقْنَا تَحْتَ الشَّجَرْ. So they went spread out under the branches and the trees to get shade. And this rain came, and actually it's a miracle that the next morning, where the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba were standing, there that dirt had become stiff and hard because of the it was a light rain. And on the other side, where the kuffar were, they had gotten a lot of mud. It was muddy and it was sticky. So it was hard for them to walk. So the situation changed from that rain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent down. Another thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, excuse me, in the Quran, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down sakina on the Muslims. So we know that And this is, again, a miracle, because people, especially when you're, you know, when someone's about to give a speech, even me, when I'm about to give a speech, I'm nervous, okay? Everyone gets nervous. When you're about to, perform surgery, for example, or you're doing anything, any kind of, you know, project or something like that, enormous like that, you get nervous, you get anxious. And this is a battle. This is a battleground where you see the enemy in front of you. You don't know if you're going to go back to see your wife and family, your kids. So, you know, you can imagine how nervous the people would be. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down Sakina, and the Muslims actually had a good night's sleep the night before Badr. They were able to actually sleep while even they're camped out in front of the enemy, and they knew that they're outnumbered 3-1, and they will be, you know, facing this large army, and they're outnumbered and outgunned, you could say. Jazakallah khair. So they knew that, and they were able to sleep. And one thing to note, okay, if we sleep during a bayan or like a lecture, or when you're reading Quran, this is not sakina, okay? This is from the shaitan. Shaitan tries to, you know, put us to sleep. He gets us to wander off and whatnot. But before a battle, before something like this, you know, something very important like this, that's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing that happened right before the battle is that the Muslims, they constructed, I think it was Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he gave the idea. He said, let's construct a tent, or like a covered area, like a hut, you could say, for the Prophet ﷺ, where he can rest and he can stay in there, and he can command the Muslims from there. So it was called the Arish, and there's actually a masjid there. I'm sure those people who have gone for Umrah, when you go to Badr, you've seen that masjid Arish, and this is a Jami masjid now. It's a huge masjid. It's actually on the battlefield where the Badr actually took place. So the Prophet ﷺ spent the whole night praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So while the Sahaba were sleeping, the Prophet ﷺ was the only one awake. And this is told to us by a hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah narrates this hadith. He says, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنَا لَيْتَ بَدْرٍ وَمَا فِينَا إِنسَانٌ إِلَّا نَائِمٌ. Every single one of us was asleep the night of Badr. إِلَّا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. Except the Prophet ﷺ. فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ يُصَلِّي إِلَىٰ شَجَرَ وَيَدْعُو حَتَّى أَصْبَحَ. So he stood up all night praying and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the morning. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to him right before Fajr, maybe tahajjud time, he came to him, and the Prophet was making dua. He was saying, Allahumma anjiz li ma wa'attani. Oh Allah, make that thing come true that which you have promised me. Meaning the promise, one of the two the two armies or the two groups. ثُمَّ مَدَّ يَدَيْ. And then the Prophet would, you know, put out his hands and he would call out again. And Sahaba would say, we never saw anyone call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua the way the Prophet made dua that night. He kept on making dua over and over again. Again, this is tawakkal. We have the army, we have the weapons, we have all these things, we have the battle maneuvers and all these things that we use. That's on one side, but then you have the tawakkal in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Rasulullah spent the whole night making dua. Allahumma aati ma wa'attani, give me what you promised me. Allahumma in tuhlik hadhi al-isaba. O Allah, if these people, this sahaba, this isaba, this group of people, if they die, min ahli al-islam, these Muslims die today, la tu'bad fil ard, then who will be there to left to worship you? Meaning that these are the ones who worship. Oh Allah, keep them alive so they can continue to worship you. So he kept on making these du'as. And again, Abu Bakr came, and even the rida, the upper garment of the Prophet, because he was making du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his rida fell. Abu Bakr came and got it and put it back on the Prophet. And he says to the Prophet, Ya Nabi Allah, kafaka munashadatuka rabbak. That, you know, your du'as, you know, it's enough. You know, basically, you made du'a. Allah will certainly answer your du'as. That, you know, why are you stressing yourself out so much? He was worried for the Prophet ﷺ. Remember, he stayed up the whole night. So he was worried for the Prophet ﷺ. And the ayah was revealed at that point. At that moment, the ayah was revealed, where Allah ﷻ says, Surah Al-Anfal, ayah number 9. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ أَنِّي مُمِدُّكُمْ بِأَلْفٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُرْدِفِينَ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that I will send down 1,000 of the angels to come and help you in this battle. And in regard, we'll talk about that in another lecture, inshallah, the role of the angels and the miracles of the angels, inshallah, we'll talk about that in another separate lecture, inshallah. But one of the things that when the armies met the next morning, the Prophet ﷺ called the Sahaba, they all came out from the trees and branches, wherever they were taking shade, and they gathered together, they did the wudu, and they prayed Fajr in congregation. They prayed Fajr prayer together, and then the armies were face to face. Now, one of the things about Shaitan, he came in the what was the name of the Sahabi? He becomes Muslim later on. The one who was chasing after the Abu Bakr Siddiq and Rasulullah says, Saraqah, Barakallah, yes, Barakallah. So Saraqah ibn Malik. Saraqah ibn Malik, he was actually one of the leaders of the local tribes around Mecca. And what happened is the Meccans were actually afraid that the tribe of Saraqah might find this opportunity where all our men have left Mecca, so they might attack our women. They might attack Mecca while we're gone. So they were afraid of this, but Shaitan, to make them stronger so that they won't think about that and they'll be even more strong in strength and attack the enemy, attack the Muslims, Shaitan came in the face of Saraqah ibn Malik. And he comes and he grabs the hand of Abu Jahl, he grabs the hand of Utbah or Umayyah or one of these leaders, and he's walking with them towards the battlefield, towards the Muslims, you know, when they're lining up. And he's saying that basically, don't worry, I'm with you. I'm with you and my people are with you. So that gave them strength that, okay, we don't have to worry about our families back home. And he went, but the Shaitan, when he looked up, he saw the angels lined up in the heavens and they were coming down. They were coming down to help the Muslims. When he saw that scene, the Shaitan let go of their hands and he ran. He ran. They say that he ran all the way from Yamba, which is from Badr to Yamba, maybe about 45 minutes, half an hour drive. He ran all the way and jumped into the Bahar. He jumped into the sea. Yeah, he jumped into the sea. And he was saying, calling out to Allah, O Allah, the promise that you made me. O Allah, the promise that you made me. And meaning that you promised to let me live until the day of judgment. So keep that promise with me. Like, don't kill me this day. That's how afraid he was of the angels. And even before he left, when he was running, they looked at him like, where are you going? You know, why are you running? He says, I see what you do not see. So he saw the angels, but he's saying to them, I see what you do not see. So he was so afraid, he ran all the way to the sea. Now, the Prophet ﷺ and the army of the Meccans, the Muslims and the Meccans, they face each other, and they're standing there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he comes out of the Arish, he sees the enemy army, and he says, Allahumma hadhi Quraysh qad aqbalat bi khayalaiha, that this is the army of the Meccans, of the Quraysh, and they've come back with their arrogance and fakhriha, with their arrogance and their self pride, barakallahu feek. So they came out with this, and they're challenging you, and they're belying your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says, Allahumma fa nasruka alladhi wa'adtani, Allahumma ahinnahum ay ahlikum.
स्पीच देने वाला बंदा चाहिए उन्होंने मौलाना साहब से दोनों से कोशिश की कि उनसे रابطہ मिले नहीं हुआ तो फिर सारी कम्युनिटी ने कहा कि आपको जाके रिक्वेस्ट करें कि 10 मिनट का बयान कोई भी वहां पे क्योंकि वहां पे सारे सिख भी हैं मुस्लिम भी हैं और बाकी सारे भी तो वो सारे बयान दें तो हमारी तरफ से कोई
ओके let me finish and then maybe another 10 minutes, inshallah. Should be. 10, 15 minutes, inshallah. JazakAllah.
Yeah, the Gobi can come in tomorrow.
Right, because they might, you know, turn my
Okay. Yeah, let me finish and then let's see, inshallah. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to. Okay, so. So yeah, the Prophet ﷺ was saying that, oh Allah, this is the people, they've come, and you have promised your help. So oh Allah, destroy these people. Destroy these people because they have come out to fight your cause, fight the deen, and kill the Muslims. And then he also makes dua against Abu Jahl. He said, this is Fir'aun, Hadi al-Ummah. And do not let Zama'a ibn Aswad, do not let Utba ibn Rabi'ah, don't let these people live after this. Umair ibn Wahab, excuse me, he was one of the people of Mecca, and he actually becomes Muslim later on. We'll talk about his story later on sometime, inshallah. The Kufar sent him to go and find out how large the army, the Muslims are. So he goes out, and he takes his horse, and he goes around and checks the army, and he comes back, he says, they are 300 plus or minus. So they're close to about 300. And this shows the expertise that they had, where they would just, you know, look at a number of people and they could kind of understand how many there were. And then he comes back, and after saying that they are 300 in number, he says that, he gives them advice. He says that, I see these people and I can see in their eyes, they have no niyyah, they have no intention to even go back to their homes. They're actually here to die. They're ready to die. And I see that not one of them, you will not be able to kill one of them except that they kill one of you. So even if they kill one of you, if they kill 300, and if you kill them all, for example, and they kill one third of your army, what is the point of living after that? فَمَا خَيْرُ الْعَيْشِ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ. That what is the point of living after that? If we see 300 of our people die in this battle, you know, what's the point of living after that? And Hakim ibn Hizam, also who becomes Muslim later on, he's the uncle of Khadija radhiallahu anha. He says, he goes to Utba ibn Rabi' and he says that you are one of the people that people follow, and why don't you basically tell the people? And he says, tell them what should I tell them? He says, Narji' bin Nas, that we should go back, that we should not stay here. And Utba ibn Rabi'ah, at that point, he starts going around. He had a red camel in this battle of Badr, and he starts going around to different people, to different people in the army, advising them, let's go back. Let's go back and let's not continue this. The Prophet ﷺ actually saw this, and he says to Ali radhiallahu anhu, he says, call Hamza for me. Call Hamza radhiallahu anhu, my uncle Hamza radhiallahu anhu. And he says that, who is the one on the red camel and what is he saying? Who's that one, that guy on the red camel, and what is he saying to the people? Because he was going around to each people and he's saying something. So Hamza radhiallahu anhu goes and he listens in, kind of like they were close enough, they were, you know, facing each other. He heard him call out to the people that let's go back, that the caravan is safe and let's go back. And the Prophet ﷺ, he actually said, إِنْ يَكُنْ فِي الْقَوْمْ أَحَدٌ يَأْمُرُ بِخَيْرٍ. That if there's anyone from the qawm who is advising with good, who has some kind of goodness in them or advising with good, فَعَسَىٰ أَنْ يَكُونَ صَاحِبَ الْجَمَلِ الْأَحْمَرِ. So then it is that person with the red camel. Meaning if there's anybody who has some kind of sense or some kind of khair, then that is that person. And that was Utba ibn Rabi'ah. But the problem was that Abu Jahl heard him and what he was saying. And remember, we talked about how Abu Jahl in Mecca, when he was getting the people ready for the battle, he was actually shaming them, the ones who did not want to go. He would bring oud and he would bring saffron and he would say, tajammar, basically here, take this oud, you know, the smoke, tajammar, that is Jamra is the coals, yeah, and then you put incense on it and the smoke. So he says, here, you're like the women, just here, take this jamr and you know, beautify yourself and go sit in your house. So he would shame them into going, and that's why they actually came out. So they said this, and Utba, while he's telling the people, he says that, you know, just let's go back and blame me. If someone asks you, if your women ask you, if the people ask you, why did you guys come back? Why didn't you fight? Just blame me. Say that he is the coward and he made us come back. And I'm ready to take the blame, but we should go back. And even though I'm not the most cowardly amongst you, but just blame it on me. Now, when Abu Jahl heard this, he got very upset. And he says some words that basically that you're scared. You're Jaban, you're weak, and you're scared of the enemy. That's what, you're a coward, that's why you want to go back, you don't want to fight. And Utba, at this point, he got very upset. And he says, that you're blaming me, or you're making fun of me, or you're you know, talking against me. Ya musaffira isti. Musaffir isti, this is the word. Musaffir is basically like a whistling sound. Okay? And ist is your buttocks. Okay? So he says, Ya musaffir isti, that the one whose buttocks makes a whistling sound. So he's saying basically that, you know, when someone is very afraid and they're running, so they fart or they let gas, they pass gas. So he's calling Abu Jahl Musaffir Isti, Sata'lam ayyuna ajban. You're going to find out today who is more cowardly. And then that's the point where he, him and his brother and his son Walid, and then his brother Shayba, they go forth, and we'll talk about that inshallah next week. So we'll stop there, inshallah ta'ala, and we'll continue to talk about, I wanted to talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how the lining up of the Muslims. And there's a beautiful story of Suwad ibn Ghaziyah. Suwad ibn Ghaziyah radhiyallahu anhu. We'll talk about that inshallah next week. Barakallahu feekum. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.